In West Africa, medical experts have noticed a worrisome trend in the spread of Ebola. The virus is clustering in cities and then ping-ponging back out to rural areas. Health officials are struggling with how to stop Ebola in remote areas. NPR's Kelly McEvers recently went with a team of outbreak investigators tracking a case of Ebola deep in the Liberian jungle.
The day starts at 3 a.m. Drive 5 hours from the capital, then stop at a small rural clinic in central Liberia. When I say small rural clinic, I mean something more like a house with a few rooms and no electricity.
You understand, right?
Inside the clinic, the head nurse confirms what the team has already heard. There's a woman in the area who's rumored to have Ebola. The nurse shows one of the investigators a hand-drawn map of where we need to go to find that woman.
On our way to Fremata?
From Turemu, you go to Fremata.
Fremata. It's the last village at the end of a thin black line on the map. A thin black line means the only way to get there is to walk. Down a long footpath into the hot, thick jungle, 4 hours each way. As we walk, I ask epidemiologist Mutawe Lubogo from the African Union if we know whether the woman has symptoms.
It's not clear whether she has symptoms or not, but any contact, you have to follow up for 21 days.
So what are the different ranges of responses that you could have for this person if she does, in fact, have symptoms?
As of now, the only thing we could do is to identify them early when they still have strength to walk.
If they're early enough, they could walk to the closest point where a vehicle could pick them up. So like the walking we're doing now, which is not easy, let me just say. You know, we just went over a bridge basically made out of sticks.
They are no.
I'm trying to imagine a patient going through this. That's
and
what I'm
especially
saying.
If it was rainy season.
Right.
So.
And they were sick.
And when you're sick.
This is no good. Lubogo is from Uganda. He worked on the 2007 Ebola outbreak there.
You're talking to someone who has seen it before. All the difference is in Uganda, Ebola was confined to rural areas.
I mean, but now it seems like the issue in Liberia is that it is becoming rural again.
If I fall sick, I have to come to the rural area where I have my parents, my relatives, to give me care.
This is how ping-ponging works. People go back and forth between the city, where there's commerce, and the village, where there's family. And a few of them take Ebola with them. Out here, a village is basically a clearing in the jungle. 10 or 20 huts with walls of mud and roofs of branches and leaves. Each village has a well, a fire pit for cooking, and small fields nearby to grow food. Each village is about an hour from the next one. At the fourth one, we find a clue. The team finds a man who people say is a traditional healer. He supposedly cared for the woman who people think has Ebola and for other people with Ebola. The team lists off the names of people who've tested positive for Ebola.
Yeah, I know Siawali.
You knew Siawali?
Yes.
The man says he knows a lot of these people. He denies that he's a healer. He won't even admit that he's touched or treated any of them. This is called contact tracing. If you're doing it in Dallas, you get addresses and phone numbers. Out here, it's different. We leave the man and keep on walking. We finally make it to the village where the woman's supposed to be. So here we are. Whew. We have been walking for 4 hours. Yeah. Gone through 5 villages. Heard all kinds of rumors. Now we're going to see what's going on. See if she's here. See if she's sick. And what kind of treatment can be given to her, if any. The village is pretty quiet. Some laundry drying in the sun. People are gathered around the team. It's always kind of sensitive. People hold up their hands as if they're being accused of something. Then they all talk at once. The group is standing in front of a wooden door to a hut where the woman stays. The door is closed. No one is opening the door. I walk off to the side. So they say the woman is gone. We'll find out more details later, but all this way to find somebody who maybe was sick and she's not even here, or if she is, she's in hiding.
Maybe behind that door. Or worse, she's dying somewhere in the jungle or already dead. If either of those last things are true, she is very contagious. Whatever it is, most of the outbreak investigation team thinks the people in the village are hiding something. Here's county health official Emmanuel Due talking to them.
If what you're telling us is true, then true. But I will not advise you to keep sick poison to your place. If you wait until the poison dies, then you kill that poison. And you understand me clearly?
We understand, they say. At this point, there's not much more the team can do. And now, we're going back out. Back down the road. 4 more hours back out of the jungle. On the way, we pick up the man, who's thought to be the traditional healer who treated and touched people with Ebola. He's agreed to come with us. We have to make the monkey bridge by dark, Emmanuel Due keeps saying. That's the last bridge, the biggest bridge. It's 2 bamboo poles over a dark, muddy river. The plan, once we get to the clinic, is to have an ambulance take the alleged traditional healer to a stadium where they monitor people who might have Ebola. If he's okay after 21 days, he'll be let go. But that night, the road to the clinic goes out, and the ambulance can't reach him. The man who might have Ebola goes back to his village. This is why it's so difficult to stop Ebola. These places are very hard to reach. The roads are bad, there's no electricity, no phone coverage. And once you finally get to where you're going, you have no idea what you're going to find. Kelly McEvers, NPR News, Monrovia.
And we have a way for you to get a vivid picture from Kelly's story. You can see pictures of the monkey bridge and other pictures at our Goats and Soda blog at npr.org. And we should say NPR producer Rebecca Hersher contributed to that story.